Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am your host, Kwajalein, and here's my husband, your other host.
Sup?
Kenny. So we thank you all for taking your time out to join in with us on tonight. We are truly excited about continuing the topic and ending it. We're going to wrap it up tonight, but the topic that we've been discussing the last couple of shows, and so we're going to wrap it up tonight on our Free Flow Friday. Is it possible to be single and saved? If we have anyone that's streaming out there, if you would like to call in, if you have anything to say, we ask that you please give us a call at 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. Please feel free, give us a call, join in on the conversation on tonight. I will go ahead, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines so we can start our Free Flow Friday. Miss Brenda, are you there?
Yes, I am, darling. How are you all tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you all?
Good. Oh, wonderful this Friday. Have y'all got any rain yet from the
yes.
storm?
Mm.
You have.
We praying that God controls it and y'all don't get no flooding down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? God has been so good to Macon, Georgia. He has allowed things to just pass over us, but you know he's getting tired of this disobedience. And they better be careful because they're going to bring the wrath on us, honey.
Don't start preaching now, Miss Brenda. Don't start preaching.
I ain't preaching, but I'm just saying. So he's been
It's true. What you saying is true now. You are right. You are so right. Well, your line will be open, so we would love to hear what you have to say on tonight. Please feel free to join
Thank
in on
you,
the
ma'am.
Conversation. Okay.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mish, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. What you eating?
I'm eating some pizza.
Eat a piece of me, too.
I know that's right. I sure am.
It sounds good.
It is.
Well, your line will be open, Mish. We look forward to hearing what you have to say as we wrap this topic up on tonight on our Free Flow Friday.
Okay. All
so
right.
So when you finish eating, you know, make sure you join on in the conversation.
I will.
All right.
You ain't smacking because you know how me and Pastor Michelle
is. Okay.
All right, Mish. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today, tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
We're doing good.
What's going on, Pastor?
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
I'm all right. You heard what I told Mish, right?
I did not. My grandkids were being too loud.
Miss on the phone eating pizza. I told her, make sure you ain't smacking, because you know how me and Pastor Michelle is.
make sure she's not what?
She's
smacking. Right. Amen. But Pastor Kenny, I can hang up. You can't.
Yeah.
Y'all are true. Well, Pastor Michelle, your line will be open on tonight on our Free Flow Friday as we wrap up this discussion about being single and saved. So please, you know, join in the conversation. Don't worry about your grandkids being loud because, you know, these children over here, they be real loud and stuff. So, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just a real show with real families talking about real issues.
Yes, ma'am. I sure will.
All right. Leanne, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good. I was about to call your nickname and stuff all on the nickname Pastor Michelle gave you all on air.
That's okay. That's
how you doing.
I'm excited.
You're excited? Are you excited about the conversation?
Yes, because you never know what Pastor Shell going to say.
I know. But, you know, we have to, we have to make sure her questions. Okay, yeah. Your line will be open, so we look forward to hear what you have to say on tonight as we wrap up this conversation. So thank you for calling on our Free Flow Friday. And we'll go ahead and get things started. Some single Christians struggle daily with longing to be married and have their emotional and physical needs met. Oftentimes they feel alone and rejected by the church. They have many unanswered questions and some are reluctant to ask. Tonight we will discuss some of these questions, such as: how far should single Christians go when dating? Is it okay for pastors to be single? And more. Join us tonight if you're listening, Friday, September 2nd, 2016, as we continue our conversation and discuss these questions on our Free Flow Friday. So again, if you're listening in and you want to join in, please give us a call at 657-383-1571. Okay, so everyone's line is open, and we're going to go ahead and get this started. And, well, I do want to make an announcement, y'all. My husband's birthday is Monday. He'll be 37 years old, so you know, I just want to give him a shout-out on air, you know, and just tell him happy birthday. Old man, he's becoming an old man, y'all, becoming an old man. So we plan on celebrating this weekend some type of way. So I just wanted to give my baby a shout out on air tonight. Now, we're going to go ahead and get in our discussion. We've been talking about, you know, different things as far as the church and how, you know, whether or not the church does enough for our singles. We've discussed things such as you know, masturbation. We've discussed some different things. What else? Is it just, you know, we need to wait on God? Is that the main reason why we have so many singles? Or, you know, are there other things? So we've really discussed a variety of things on the show. And so I still have some more questions that I wanted to, you know, just kind of to talk about, to strike up a conversation and see what people think and everything. So I'm going to start with my questions, but I do have one more caller. One second. Caller ended in 5359.
Good evening. This is Janelle.
Hey, Janelle. I should know your number by heart. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Well, thank you for calling on tonight on our Free Flow Friday. And your line will be open, so we would love to hear what you have to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a conversation. All right. You lie to be open.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, online dating is the first thing I want to talk about. Is it okay for single Christians to be involved or to, you know, to sign up for online dating? What do you guys think? Anybody?
I don't know.
Do you hear me?
Uh-huh. I hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure about that. I know they got the Christian dating website and things like that, so I don't know if I'm 100%. I would love to hear what everybody else has to say.
I would
so
like
you
to
don't
chime
know.
In on that.
Go ahead. Is that Janelle?
Ashley?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yay! Go ahead.
I think that online dating, I mean, I know it can be very dangerous, whether you are saved or unsaved, because people, you know, they have their malicious intent, you know, when it comes to meeting people. And some people even portray that they're Christians or they're men of God or women of God. And the reality is they're really not. So with any dating, whether you meet someone in a grocery store or meet someone online, you still have to make sure you take the time to get to know the person. Personally, me, I don't see anything wrong with online dating, but you just have to make sure you take that extra bit of caution, because everything that's on that screen, it may look good. He may be a pastor, apostle, prophet, and can speak in 10 different tongues, but when you meet them for the first time, make sure it's done in a public place, because crazy comes in all shades, and you have to be careful, you have to be safe, you know, when you're doing things like that, because, yes, you have a picture, and that information up there can be false. That picture may not be real. So there is a higher level of caution than meeting someone in a grocery store or meeting someone in your church. But a lot of times it's such a stigma meeting someone in the same church that you go to that a lot of people, singles, don't want to do that. You know, so they have to kind of broaden their horizon. When I was single, I admit, I did some online dating, and the moment that I ran across a few crazies, I was done with it. But I wanted to try it just so I can have the experience for myself to see what it was about. But after a phone conversation or two, your colors tend to show. I know how to probe people and ask the right questions so I can learn more about their character and who they really are and not just what the screen says. So if someone is brave enough to do it, by all means, I mean, I think you should try it, because there could be some genuine people out there. But it's still just got to be cautious. That's all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So you don't think anything is wrong? You don't think it's inappropriate for Christians? You just think that we just have to really be careful?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I completely agree. Does anybody else have anything to say before I say anything?
It's just my opinion. I don't know nothing about online dating. I wouldn't care to online date, because it's so hard to even pick out people that you even know, you know, because sometimes you think you know a person and you don't. They come with this facade like they're this and they're that. And then, like she was saying, you know, conversations, you can ask the right questions and they'll lie. And just because somebody say they're saved, that don't mean they are saved. And that goes for the men and the women, you know. So that's just my opinion, but I feel like people do what they feel like they have to do, but me, myself, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, outstanding. That's good. I like both statements. And if I may carry out off what, you know, both you ladies said on tonight, what I want to say basically is that, you know, God has provided a way for us to be able to use the World Wide Web in order for us to reach out and actually meet people. And, there are successful relationships that happen from online dating. However, just as Minister Johnnell said, there are some crazies out there portraying us. So you pretty much have wolf in sheep clothing basically out there on there trying to find some vulnerabilities in personnel that are actually attending the site. But, you know, the spirit of discernment, I thank God for the spirit of discernment because he definitely gave it to you, ladies, when you brought up your comments, which is good because, you know, you all have witnessed hand in hand. You can meet somebody in the grocery store, just like you said, Mr. Johnnell, about meeting somebody in the church or meeting somebody anywhere that you can meet somebody. So it's pretty much a risk regardless of whether it's online or not. But it's really not a bad thing, I don't think at all, for online dating to occur.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
So I've always thought that it's nice to, if you want to just meet people, but as far as dating, no, because I guess I always, you know, you always hear the scripture, okay, you know, the man is supposed to find the wife. So if I'm on a website and I'm looking for people, am I looking for this man? And so does this end up being wrong? This is more kind of a question than I guess a comment. But that was what my thinking always. I don't know.
But that's a good question. Go ahead. Wait, hold on 1 second before you answer. Who's that, Pastor Michelle?
Yes, ma'am.
Who's that? Okay, hold on 1 second. Hey, Faye, are you there?
I'm here. How's everybody?
Hey, how you doing? We're doing good. Doing good. Your line is open, so when you feel free to jump on in for our Free Flow Friday, you know, just come on in there, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Pastor Michelle, and then Kenny has something to say.
Okay, one of the things that I teach when I do marital counseling, premarital counseling, and even, you know, premarital before they even find their spouse, that scripture, a man that findeth a wife find a good thing and obtain favor in the Lord, that is in Proverbs. I want to share something with you, Sister Lily. Listen, Pastor Kenny, I'm going to use Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quasim, since they're our hosts. They met each other, and they could have been the best of friends. He knows who she is, familiar, they're friends, but it's not until God changes the look to something more that he realized that this was my wife. Even though my husband met me and we knew each other, he didn't realize. So when it says that a man that findeth a wife, when you find them in God, when you find them in a way that's different than just, hey, this is my friend or whatever, you can meet anybody all day long. But does that, and they can say that they're your husband or whatever, but is that in agreement with what your spirit is saying? So, to me personally, you can meet somebody and know them for 10 years, and as a man, know them for 10 years, and then go around and say, good God, my wife has been looking me in the face all this time, you know, and didn't even realize that was your wife. So I, after listening to, you know, and I know that's my baby sister, I'm not just saying this because, you know, that's my sister. I'm saying because I do understand there are people, sometimes time and careers and things like that prevent you from what people consider normal dating. But I was just watching on TV a couple that was from Macon, Georgia, and they knew each other, and he still killed her, you know. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. How can you find your wife? How does a man find his wife?
Okay, that's good, Pastor Michelle. I like that. I like that. I just wanted to say basically, right, the scripture does say that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. All right, but God also deals with the matters of the heart. And what I mean by that is just as you said earlier, Pastor Michelle, about the change, the look. When a woman feels within her heart that she's found her, quote-unquote, soulmate, God deals with the matters of the heart, and he allows her to feel a certain way when she's in the presence of a man that she believes or that she feels may have the potential to be her future husband. So it's not just that God only deals with the man when it comes to finding a wife, but God also deals with the woman as well. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, men and women both, but men will normally say that a woman's intuition is a whole lot stronger than theirs, because sometimes men are caught up on the look more than the emotional status of someone. But I myself, I honestly believe that God was preparing my wife, and he was setting her heart to be prepared to know when that man came about that was for her, that she would also be alert on that too. Like me, I felt within my heart, deep down within my heart, within my very spirit, that she was my wife. But then she also felt the same thing as far as me being potential, but it wasn't immediately. But eventually God had showed her signs, and then she paid attention to the signs. So God also deals with the woman too when it comes to her finding her husband.
I personally, I agree with Sister Janelle, and I completely understand you, Ms. Brenda, where you said, you know, some people do it, but it's not for you. I think a lot of, I think that's more of this generation type thing, you know, the online thing. But I completely agree. I've met couples that, you know, they met online and they're still together. You know, I met couples that they met in person, and it was just all just crazy. You know, so it is about us, you know, being careful, being prayerful, really seeking God. You know, either way, that's my opinion. But I wanted to just go off just out that Leandra's question is kind of leading me to another question. I mean, her what she was saying. So, what do you all think about this day and time about a woman initiating a date with a man? Do you all think that's inappropriate? Anybody?
Hey. Pastor, I'm going to answer in just a second.
Okay.
Okay. Do you mean like the first date?
Yes. Yes, like the first date. Not, you know, not if they've already been dating or talking or in a relationship. Yeah, I'm sorry that I didn't specify. But, like,
no,
the
okay.
first date. Let's see, like, you know, if you're working together. Let's say it was Kenny and I. We were working together. And I'm like, man, he's handsome. He caught my eye. And me being saved, you know, I go and I initiate the conversation and ask him out on a date.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that at all. I did that, and I've been married for 23 years coming up after me asking. So I definitely don't see anything wrong with that.
That worked for you.
Okay.
I was going to ask the question, why is it wrong? Because the woman is asking, and just back in the day we were so used to the man asking. Is that what's supposed to make it wrong?
Well, no, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm asking, well, do you guys think it's wrong? I know it could be because of the way, you know, people have been taught based on the scripture. You know, he that finds a wife findeth a good thing. So do you all think that it's wrong, or do you all think that it's okay? Do you think that, you know, it's been kind of taken out of context over the years in the church, or, you know, what do you think? Do you think it's okay for we're only talking about, you know, if you're saved, if you're a saved woman and you're, you know, and you find a man and you initiate the dating part of it, you approach him, you ask him on a first date. Do you all think it's okay? Do you think it's not okay? I'm not saying I think it's wrong, but some people may think it's wrong, like I said, based on the scripture, thinking a man is supposed to, you know, do the initiation.
I don't think it's wrong. I feel there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so that's two for not wrong. Anybody else?
I don't think it's wrong either, because sometimes men are shy. You know, men don't speak as quick as we do in most cases. And sometimes a woman will initiate things with a man because he may be one and she feels, she, you know, she feels for him and she can feel in her heart that he feels for her too. But he don't know how to go to her. And sometimes that makes them the happiest person in the world to know that somebody really cares about them because they care, but they don't show it. You know, they just keep it in to themselves, but you can feel that contact with them. You can feel that care with them, you know. So I don't think it's wrong.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we as women can be intimidating to men.
Mm-hmm.
By being black women, we can be very intimidating. And a man might not even know how to come off to you at asking you for a date. And with that being said, sometimes we as women know when someone is attracted to us. And sometimes it's good to break the ice and
mm-hmm.
say something to man to let him know, you know, I'm down, I'm on your level, I'm good, I'm not what you might think I am. And with him and with you sometimes opening up to him, then that gives him the leeway, you know, to feel comfortable at talking to you and moving on with whatever you all decide to move on with. But sometimes we as women are very intimidating to men, and sometimes we have to break the ice.
That's true. That's true. Anybody else? Well, I agree. I don't see anything wrong with it at all. That's my opinion. I don't see anything wrong with it. Baby, do you see anything wrong with a woman initiating the date, the first date, asking a man out for a date? The same one?
Well, no, I don't, actually. I don't. I was sitting here looking at some scriptures, and I have to find the one that I was looking at previously, but I don't think that it's wrong because this is, okay, it's Proverbs 31 and 10, where it says, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. How else will a man get the opportunity to find his precious jewel, right? If he has no one to actually interact with and talk to and communicate with, and God, like I said, He deals with the matters of the heart. So if God allows you to feel what you feel when you find that right fit, that person that's for you, and is God ordained. So no, it's not wrong. I mean, I don't think women should just sit around and walk around, you know, and just, you know, like be lost like they're walking around in the wilderness waiting on someone to come and find them. No, I mean, it's okay for a woman to be able to go out and talk. I think she should be able to talk and communicate with other people. But at the same time, I don't think she should be to the point where she's anxious, you know, because then, overbearing. But other than that, I mean, I don't think a man should be anxious and overbearing either. I think you should just allow for God to speak to your heart and tell you what it is that you need to know.
And this leads me to another question. Then I want to go back to something that you said, Faye. Now, so I think most of us agree that there's no problem with a woman initiating, you know, the dating. What about a saved woman proposing?
Same thing, you know. It depends on how long you guys been dating, where you're at in the relationship. And, again, he might not feel that that's what you want to do, so he don't know how to ask you. And that's where you come in being, you know, letting him know, you know, I'm down with that. I love you. I would love to be your wife. But, you know, he might not know that. So, You might have to initiate something. Men are funny creatures.
Okay.
Elaborate. Please elaborate. I would love to hear how funny
you
are.
I agree with you, Faye. The how does anybody else feel about a woman proposing?
I would have to agree with Ms. Faye. And I think I'm probably just one of the ones that break all molds and barriers of thoughts and thinking, because I proposed to my husband before he proposed to me.
I didn't
and
know
so,
that.
I did all those things. So I don't know. I did that, and again, like I said, it worked. My husband is very, very shy. 25 years later, he's still very shy. I have to initiate a lot of things because that's just his personality. So, Sister Faye, I agree with you. I just agree.
Absolutely.
You
okay,
agree
then,
too, Ms. Brenda?
Yes.
Hey. Ms.
Michelle, go ahead, Faye. What you
think? Please elaborate on how
I didn't know all your feelings. What happened? What can I say?
This is Ms. Faye said men are funny creatures, and Kitty waiting for her to elaborate.
I didn't want to elaborate.
He's not the only one waiting for the elaborate. I'm trying to hear what's funny, too.
Hey, Keto.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
We doing good.
I want to know what's up.
You know, I told you, you know, I mentioned about, you know, these strong, independent black women, and we could be intimidating sometimes. And if the truth be told, we are much stronger than you all are. There's a lot of things that you all cannot do or stand and say, wow, I don't even see how she did that, man. I know I couldn't do that. And there are some things y'all are faint at the quick of a pin.
They ain't about to have no babies, even if they could.
the Lord knew what he was doing.
But that I want to go back to what you said about women being intimidating. And I know the last show, you know, I was asking, we were talking about, is it just a waiting on God, or is it more to it that we have so many, you know, singles in the church? So do you all think that that's part of the reason, because a lot of us are intimidating? And if so, how do we change that, or should it be changed?
I think it should be changed. You know, it has been said that I am intimidating to men. And I had to sit back and actually look at myself. And I were. You know, I had to turn that thing around if I want a man in my life. You know, you can't sit and be talking about, yeah, I'm strong and I'm black and I'm strong and independent. I don't need no man in my life. Well, excuse me, yes, I do. I don't care how strong and independent I am. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Honestly, though, I think that's part of the problem is, you know, a lot of women, they pull this, I'm independent card. I can do anything by myself. I don't need no man.
And
you know, and it becomes, it almost becomes to the point to where it's toxic. Like, I don't need no man. I can do it by myself.
Yeah.
So when a man finally does approach you, you know what I mean, and a man is actually worth something, is actually decent, you're already trying to put him off because you don't need no man. You can do it by yourself. But then next thing you know, you're 45 and single.
Well, my brother,
you know,
ain't that strong. I ain't that strong and independent that I don't need one.
Hey, because contrary to popular belief, y'all, you know what I'm saying, God made it in the Garden of Eden. God made it to where man and woman would have to need one another. He made it that way because he gave Adam Eve and he gave Eve Adam. So, I mean, it's just in our genetic makeup from the beginning of time. So, you know, men can say the same thing. But men can tell you real quick, right? And I can tell you, speaking from a man's point of view, ain't nothing like being able to roll over and rub on my boo. Ain't nothing like it. I like being able to lay in the bed and hug up on my wife and sleep. That's a pleasure to me. I love that. I ain't trying to have no cold bed and I got a pillow right there laying in. Nah. And women need men too, you know, because they need somebody strong and somebody to hold them in their arms to show them that they're secure and safe in their arms. I mean, now granted, you know, you do have that cliche that you know some women have picked up saying that, you know, Jesus my man, God my man, that's all I need. But in actuality, no, that's not it, because God, even though as he allowed for Adam to be the tender and tiller over the whole garden, he saw fit that it was unfit for a man to be alone, and he gave man a woman.
Yes. So, anybody, what does everybody else have to say about that? So, Faye, you said it needs to be changed. Keto, you agree that it needs to be changed. Does anybody else have anything to say about, you know, women, particularly, you know, us as black women, being intimidating a lot of times, and this been a part of the reason why a lot of us are single? Go ahead.
Pastor, okay. I don't think that you should have to settle regardless. As a woman, you should not have to settle. You know what I mean? If bums keep coming up to you and trying to approach you, and if they're below you, then by all means, don't settle. But at the same time, you know, I honestly believe, you know, some women are, you know, so strong and so independent that they are intimidating to the average guy. The average guy wouldn't, you know, man, she's out of my league. I wouldn't dare approach her. You know what I mean? Just because of the persona that they put off. You know, you don't got to be so hard all the time.
Say it, bro. You don't have to be so hard.
All right. Pastor Michelle, you had something to say?
Back to the question that you said, do you think that should be changed in the church? Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, I'm saying, do you think it should be changed? We are talking about in the church. We're talking about Christian women. So do you think that needs to be changed? You know, this intimidating fact, go ahead.
I absolutely do, because here's the thing. Like me, as you know, you and I, Pastor Kenny, we're married and everything, and then we have a church. A lot of people in there are single, and they're yearning for their spouse. And I don't think it's right for anybody to try to teach them that, you know, Jesus is my man, God is my husband. I don't think that that's right, because we're already in a position where, like Pastor Kenny said, we don't roll over to a cold bed unless y'all deployed. You know, and on top of that, we have kids, so we're still not in a cold bed. But I think it's wrong, you know, for them to have that mentality, wait on the Lord, you know, and if you 80, still wait on the Lord. No, you need to teach these men and women how to prepare for marriage. Teach the women how to be godly women in preparation to being wives, and teach these men not to be sorry, to go out and be the provider, get off of video games. Like, they have to be taught this, so when they come and they take their wives, they know what they're doing. People are just getting married in the church because, ooh, y'all, don't they look good together? I knew when they was little they was going to be married. And then all of a sudden you marrying somebody who don't even know how to wash his own dishes or clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you saw in the church. In the church they don't approve of dating or courting. They don't approve of spending any alone time. Because all that alone time, that's going to lead to, well, that is dependent upon the person. So we have this in the churches now. It's like this strict thing, pretty much. It's almost like some churches want to arrange the marriage. No, you can't do that, because you're arranging that and not God. And so when all of a sudden you marry a woman beater, and then the wife is like, well, I'm going away from the church completely because God told you to let me marry somebody with my tail. So I just think that this whole, that's one end of it. And then the other end, like Keto said and like Sister Faye said,
you know, I'm a strong black woman. I don't need a man. Well, no, you might not need one, but you sure should want one. But that's a whole new different story. But I just think it is such a stigma on being single in the church, and these young people are still single, and they're not even in preparation of finding a spouse.
Right.
Sister Michelle, you know, I also wanted to add to that. You know, we in the church need to help our sisters and our brothers, because from previous relationships, they have been, you can be that good woman that has been hurt so badly by that man, or you can be that good man that has been hurt so badly by that woman. They want to treat every woman and every man like the previous relationship that they have had. Now,
that's
I find
right.
myself married for 20 years, and I say 3% probably was my fault, but 97% was his. Because I was that good woman. And I'm not trying to lay all the fault on him, because I did play a role somewhere, but it was very small. When, you know, being married to one person for 20 years, and you finally get a divorce because you're tired of being tired, I had to first find myself again. I had to find who I were. And I also, once I could find who I were, I had to understand there are some good men out there. All men was not like my husband. And that still was hard for me when I started finally trying to date, because I find myself being controlling. I wasn't going to let you say something without me thinking it might be a lie. And I had to start praying and asking God to help me. And that's the only way that it will work with me, because, you know, some relationships just don't get started. And we don't give the other sex a chance because of we've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
right.
if that, and a lot of people are not going to say that, but I think if it's brought up in the church and it's said, then it can bring it out of people to talk about their story and hear about their story, because that's a hard thing, and that's not easy. But all at the same time, you can't mistreat people because of your hurt and your pain, because there's some good people out here.
Mm-hmm. Right. So do you think that plays a part? I do. But would you agree, shall I say, that plays a part in us as black Christian women, being intimidating, because we have, you know, we have these trust issues. We've seen our moms go through things. We've seen our grandmoms, our aunts, you know, we've seen them be mistreated. We have this example, and some of us, you know, we've grown up in single parent homes, and so all we know is this, you know, a strong black, not that we shouldn't be strong, and I know it's not just, you know, blacks, but we see it a lot in our community. You know, we just have to be real, because we do. We see it a lot in our community. And so, you know, we've seen this, we've seen this, we've lived this, we've been raised to be this, you know, this strong black woman. And then, you know, we get older, and although we want to get married, you know, we want to have, we want to be married and have a husband, but at the same time, you know, because we have these different issues, like these trust issues or these things like this, then we're still giving off, you know, this, we're still being intimidating. We are,
you know, giving all of this off because we haven't healed, or either the ones who've raised us haven't healed, and so they pass these things down to, you know, down to, you know, their daughters and so on. So would you agree that that's part of the problem? Would you guys agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I would agree that that is part of the problem, but still, we have to try to get it right for ourselves to make it right, because there's still someone that is hurting, and there's pain there. But sometimes we got to move on in our life, and sometimes we might need help in doing that. Because if we just stay stuck where we were, that we're just going to be there. We're just going to be right there. You can't just stay stuck. You got to pick up your life, and you got to move on. And besides being that strong woman, a man want a woman that's stable. A woman wants a man that's stable. But put it in order. Put it in decency, and know how
balance.
To handle that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Have a balance. Have a balance. And I do think that that should be a part of the training for marriage, like Pastor Michelle was saying, you know, we need to teach. I think that that should be a part of the counseling and the training, you know, dealing with those things, you know, being hurt before, you know, dealing with those things, bringing those things out, because I personally just don't believe that we have so many single people just because everybody just got, you know, it's all about just waiting on God and, you know, God's time. And I think there are things that, now for a lot of people that is the case. I'm not saying, you know, that's not. But I also think that there are some marriages that could have already taken place, you know, or could have taken place sooner had other measures, you know, been taken. And that's just my opinion. That's, you know, that's just my opinion. Does anyone else have anything to say about that?
You know, Apostle Brown had taught us a lot of things, especially, you know, she talked to the single women. And she would explain things, and I mean, she didn't hide nothing. She put it all out there, you know. And she allowed us to talk back to her. And Pastor Knight, he does the same thing. And it's really heart-wrenching. You know, it makes you feel good because they both teach us things about being single, being married, and, you know, how to act, how to carry ourselves as a single, saved woman or saved man. And it's good when you have leaders that you can sit down and discuss things with. And we've done that, you know, after service, or sometimes maybe on the topic that they're preaching on or someone preaching on, they take it and we just dissect it, you know, and just pull out every little turn. And it's been amazing to me. And I just love it. And just like they were saying, some people just don't tell their congregation anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They'll just say, well, wait on God. That's right. And it's no equipping or dealing with, you know, past relationships or things that have been passed down to us. You know, well, all men cheat. Well, that's not true. Even if my husband was a cheater, somebody else, you know, it still doesn't mean that all men cheat. But these are things that, you know, we've heard and that, it, you know, it gets embedded in us and we, and so we, when we are in a relationship, these are the things that we, you know, we bring into the relationship, and then a lot of our actions are based off of these things, and then, you know, we end up with a disaster sometimes. We'll have a new caller, everyone. Hold on 1 second. Caller ending in 2126.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, how are you all? This is Geraldine Stanford. How are you this evening? I'm trying to catch
hey,
up.
Hey, Mima.
Hey, baby.
Hey. We're so glad you called. We're talking about being, is it possible to be single and saved? So we are
right now we're talking about, you know, intimidating us as women, being intimidating. A lot, we see a lot of black women, especially, you know, Christians. Well, black women, but we're talking about Christians, you know, being intimidating and, you know, so we were on that discussion about how that is affecting us. And so your line will be open and we'll love to hear what you have to say, you know, talking about the church, equipping the singles and things like that. So your line is open. Please feel free to jump in when you're ready. Do you have anything to say right now?
Thank you. Not right now. I'm just listening right now. I'm just listening.
Your line?
I'm trying to think. I'm playing catch up because I was late getting on. Janelle was telling me I was late getting on, so I'm just playing catch up. But as a single woman, you know, I can identify with what you're saying.
Okay.
As a single older woman, you know, I just feel like that we as women, we need to carry ourselves ladies, and that's kind of fell by the wayside, you know, because so many women are playing the dual role. Single mothers are playing the dual role of the man and the woman, that it's difficult for them to find their rightful place when the right one comes along. So we just have to be prepared and to understand that the man is usually, you know, has a position at the head of the household, at the head of the woman. And we just have to remember those things and remember that even though we as single women have played a dual role, sometimes we need to be submissive.
Right. Right.
You need to be so hardcore, just relax and understand. But I think that today in a lot of the churches, a lot of some good teaching is going forth. So we have a single ministry at our church, and some good teaching is going forth in regards to how to carry yourself as a saved woman. And it's much needed today.
It is.
So I reserve
it
my
is.
Comments until I
can do more. Will you jump in when you're ready, me, Mom?
It's me now.
And it is. It is needed. Because even down to, like we were talking about the other day, you know, dressing, just I think a lot of us don't know how to allow, you know, the man to come in to be in that role, because we do have so many single homes. And that's what we've seen, you know, like grandmama was single, mama was single, you know, so we don't even know how. I know I didn't know how to allow Kenny to be the head, and I had to learn, and I made a lot of mistakes. I said a lot of, and my mom, she talked to us, like Ms., you know, Brenda said, that's true, because she still, you know, she still gets on us, and now, you know, she'll still teach us according to the word and everything. But it was just learning how to apply that, and it really took God to teach me how to apply those principles, because I didn't know how. Does anyone else have anything to say about that?
I was actually going to say the same thing. Like, this is something that's taught. You know, like, you know, you got a lot of these independent women are independent simply because that's all they know. That's all they seen. You know what I mean? They grew up in a house where it was just mom. They go to grandma's house. Granddad died, you know, 15 years ago, so it's just grandma. You know, grandma holding it down for the whole family. You know, mom working two jobs. So that's all they know. You know what I mean? And so you almost can't blame them. Because, I mean, the households in black America is jacked up simply because so many of them are fatherless, be it because he don't want to be there, jail, death, or whatever. You know, so many of them are fatherless, and stuff like this is sadly becoming the norm because so many kids are growing up without that father in the home, where the women are growing up like, well, I got to do it all.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's true. We see a lot of it. A lot of it, which is why we do need to see more marriages, stable, healthy marriages. That's what we really need to see, and it should start in the church. We really should be the example. Unfortunately, you know, we're seeing more and more divorces, even in the church. So
I want to say something that the brother just spoke on. You know, my daughter died giving birth to the youngest grandbaby. And I'm raising them now. The two small ones have the same father, and the oldest one have a different father. And a lot of times I sit and I think, are my girls going to be okay going on with their life as far as a man being in it? Because they don't have that father figure to teach them how a man is supposed to treat a woman, or just that authority in the house to see how this man is treating my grandmother. But, you know, I pray and I ask God to help me to give them those instructions, to try to guide them the best that I know how. And in me, I feel that he's given me all that to give them. And I encourage them every day to do their best, and that it's going to come a time that they're going to date. The oldest one was already trying to date, but, you know, I had to cut that off real short because your mama didn't date until she was 16, and that was a strict guideline with that. But I found her being very, very caring to this young man. She liked him too. It even ended in a fight at school. Not that she started it, but she finished it. And I got on her about that, and she ended up getting suspended for that. But I was trying to explain to her that he's playing both of you all. He's sitting back laughing. I understand that we reported it. Nothing was done. But you made a choice to do what you did because you didn't have to do it. And we went through a lot with that. But I find it being very hard trying to do both because I'm not a man. And I can't, sometimes I feel I can't do that part, but I just constantly ask God just to give me the strength to help these babies because their fathers choose not to be in their life like that. Now, every now and then they want to see them, but they need to spend time with their girls. Mm-hmm. And that don't happen. So I pray that my girls get the right man in their life. I mean, they got a long ways to go, but I pray that everything that I instill in them, that they will be okay. But it's hard. It's hard because when kids grow up and see certain things and miss out on certain things, it tends to hurt them, and they look for love in all the wrong places. So, and as I say that to you guys, y'all pray for my strength. Y'all pray for my girls.
Amen. We will.
We'll do.
That's true. So that leads me to this next question, and then I want to go to one about babies after that. Pastor Michelle, earlier you were saying, you know, that people should want to be married, Christians should be. So do you all think that there is something wrong with a Christian that does not want to be married?
I absolutely do not. I don't see anything wrong with it at all. If that's what they prefer and they realize that they can still live a life that's pleasing to God, then go for it. But for the ones who do, don't judge them because they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul was not married. He was a eunuch. He chose that lifestyle. There are people that just choose that lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with it.
All right. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Okay, Pastor Michelle, before I move on from you, what do you think about single pastors? Would you think of it the same way, or do you think it's better for a pastor to be single? What do you think? I mean, married, sorry.
I mean, I pretty much think of it the same way. It's just that, like, when you have any position, if it's being a pastor, being, you know, high-ranking in the military, being a basketball, it doesn't matter. When you have any type of positioning, women or men –
throw themselves at you. And so it's something to consider to find your husband or wife. But if that's where God has you and you stand firm and strong, then, I mean, to me, it's your own personal choice. I think that if you're a man and you have a church and you're single, you should have a right hand, but you should have a woman that's in charge of the women, because you definitely can't be. I don't feel that you could minister to the needs of a woman that way without it becoming a little bit too uncomfortable.
Okay.
Or vice versa for that.
Right. Definitely needs to have a woman involved. Does anybody else have anything to say on that? Nobody? Okay. Yeah, I agree. We have a single pastor at our home church. I believe he desires to be married, but he definitely teaches, you know, holy living. He's definitely, you know, an example, and he is, you know, he's waiting on God. I think he, you know, dates here and there, but it can be done. Definitely, it definitely can be done. Now, I wanted to go. You have anything to say about that, babe? Okay. Now, we know as women, as we get older, a lot of us, because some women don't want to have children, but as women, as we get older, you know, some women don't have children and they're biological clocks begin to, you know, tick. They're waiting on God, but they want children. And I've had this question brought to me on two occasions, so now I'm bringing it to you guys. What do you think of artificial insemination for a single saved woman that wants to become a mother? Everybody don't talk at the same time.
No, that one's tough, really. I mean, I think it's the silence is everybody's debating on it, because that's tough.
I think nobody wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Don't nobody want to touch it.
This is a hard one. That's really a hard one, because if a woman is financially stable, I mean, it's really difficult to answer, because here she's creating an environment for a child, to she's making a choice to become a single parent, and that would actually have to depend on the individual, you know, depending on her financial status, depending on who she maybe has a brother that could be a strong father figure for her child, or I think that would actually have to be a personal choice. I really do. That would have to be a personal choice, because it's a lot of things that would factor into that as far as the family is concerned. Because on the one hand, you're seeing that she's creating an environment where she would have to raise a child, and what if it's a male child, you know, without a father, well, male or female, all children need both parents. You know, I was blessed that my children grew up in the home, same dad, all four kids, same dad. We were blessed in that way. But it would have to be just a lot of things to take into consideration, because the dynamics of the family is already just crazy. It's crazy. It's hard raising children with two parents. But when you make the decision to do it with one, that is really that takes a strong woman. It takes somebody that is spiritually stable. And if it was me, honey, God would have to tell me to do it. I'm just saying. I would have to have a director straight from above. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. Anybody else?
I have to agree with the sister. That the Lord had to tell me to get these three I got. Because I'm going to tell you, my kids, I hadn't had no baby in 26 years, and Lord, it changed my life. And to know that I'm the sole provider here on this earth for them, knowing that God, he constantly provides us what I need and sometimes what I want, but it ain't easy being a single parent. It's not easy at all.
Okay. So you agree also it would be a personal decision. So it's not that you... So it's not that you see anything biblically wrong with it. You're saying from the point of being a...
No. I wouldn't do it.
Anybody else? What do you feel about artificial insemination?
I'm like hammer, can't touch this.
So do y'all feel as though it's any different? Well, I know, like, okay, Faith, you know, you took you are raising your grandchildren. So do you feel as though that's any different from a single mom adopting a child from, like, foster care?
No. No. You know, you go through a lot when you're an older woman than when you had your children. And, I mean, to each his own. They do as they feel that they want to do, but just my opinion. I couldn't go back through this if somebody paid me all the money in the world.
She said they paid me.
I don't know. My mom used to say it's the milk. I don't know what it is. But these children are a different breed.
Yes, they are.
I could not do this again to save my life. I could not do it.
So I commend you on what you're doing, Faye. I do. So anybody else, do you think, you know, being a Christian woman that people would frown more upon artificial insemination opposed to adoption? Y'all don't be scared to touch it? Come on, touch it. You know, there's some people like that have these questions. There's same women out there, single women, they have these questions.
Now, you know good and well that if a single woman all of a sudden stood up in church with a big belly, and she is profession salvation, and I don't care if she has been just the epitome of righteousness, but if she shows up, and unless she has discussed it with all the other women in church or whatever, if she shows up in church with a big belly, you know the gossip would spread like wildfire.
Yeah, it does. I know somebody that did it.
It would spread. Oh, I know she wasn't all she claimed to be, you know, and things like that, because people don't know. That's why I said it would have to be a personal choice. I mean, I could understand a woman that, you know, does not want to get involved with a crazy man, but yet she wants a child. I could understand if she wanted to be artificially inseminated. That is one of the gifts that God allowed man to create for that particular purpose. And typically it is for people that are married. But if a single woman in the church did that, she would have to be totally and completely sold out to God and go in it with her eyes wide, because she would face all kinds of opposition and harassment. This woman would have to be very strong and know without a shadow of a doubt, again, that God told her to do it.
There was a man that is the father of 100 and something children because he artificially inseminated. He met a few of his kids. But the sad part to me about that is these kids not knowing that they're siblings and can meet up one day and fall in love. And once they fall in love and have babies, and then they want to wonder what's wrong with their child.
Right.
Because you know the chances behind that.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that. And I do know someone that did that. Meemaw, you're right. You know, the gossip people had things to say. You know, she, a wonderful, wonderful young lady. You know, she had been, she was divorced, had great career, you know, career for herself, and she wanted a baby. And she was at a, you know, she was in a financial position where she could afford it, and she did. And the little girl is, what, 6, 7, something like that. Beautiful little girl. Beautiful, beautiful little girl. But, yes, you're right. People were talking in the church, wondering who the daddy was and all types of things. You know, there were only a few of us that knew the truth, because she didn't even try to defend it. She knew what they were going to say. She did not try to defend herself in any way. And, she went through it, and to this day, there's still some of them that don't know how her baby, you know, how she became pregnant.
None of their business. That's right.
I told you
those are no sisters that need to get a life.
Right.
Yeah.
And she didn't explain it to them because it wasn't their business.
Yep, that's true. They were making their assumptions. You know, she went through the whole pregnancy. Our pastors, they knew, and they were there with her when she had the baby. You know, they supported her in it and everything. But that was the first time I had ever encountered that. That was the very first time. And I just happened to run into her. I was going to the fertility doctor, and she was going to the same fertility doctor I was going to, and I saw her there. I'm like, what you doing here? So that's how you know, so that's how that works. But yeah, it worked for her. It did. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that before we close out? Keto, what you got to say? Keto, you ain't got nothing to say?
Now, about the whole artificial insemination thing,
I
honestly don't know. Like, but I do know, like, I do wholeheartedly agree about, you know, you have to be. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, yeah, you have to be strong in what you're doing in the church, because if not, you know, people are going to test you. You know, gossip is a powerful thing. And some people, I mean, you know, it can, you just have to be strong-willed, because people are going to talk, you know, it just happens. So other than that, I honestly don't know. Like, I don't know whether I could, you know, say yes, go for it or not. You know, it's, that one's tough.
Yeah. Well, I agree with Mima. It's a personal decision. That's what I don't think anyone should, you know, make anybody feel like they about to go to hell because they decided to do it, you know. But if you're strong enough to go through it, then I definitely agree that it's a personal decision. You have anything to say about it, babe? Okay. All right, well, this has been another great show. Does anybody have anything else to say before we get ready to close out? Oh, I thought I heard mine. Okay. This has been another great show. We thank you all for calling in. You know, please share the broadcast. Like I said, these are real questions that people have, real questions and real issues, and some people are just afraid to say that they're thinking about it, especially if they're in the church, because they don't want to be looked at, you know, any type of way or looked down upon. So, you know, thank you all for your input. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing to be able to talk about these things and be real. So we do thank you all for calling on tonight. Did you have anything to say, baby?
Yes, we do. Thank you all for calling. And please join us on next Tuesday.
Yes, please join us on Tuesday back here at 8 p.m. Eastern. Everyone have a wonderful weekend and holiday. Everyone be safe, and we love you guys.
Have a good night. You all too.
Okay, talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye-bye.